We're now holding in the second part of the Akdama of the Rambam, and he's describing, generally speaking, the concept of Nevuah and its role in Torah, or its not role, I would say, is a better way of saying it. And he has described what a prophet cannot do. He's described prophets that are coming to preach in the name of Avodah Zarah. He's described prophets that are coming to preach in the name of God to worship Avodah Zarah, and both of those are obviously wrong. And finally, we have someone who's actually coming to in the name of God, and he's adding or detracting a mitzvah in a permanent way, and that's also not a prophet. So we have three examples of people that are not Nevi'im, not prophets, and are definitely categorized as Nevi'i Sheker. Now we finally come to someone that is a Navi, V'chelek HaSheni. He says, She'yekore El Hashem, V'yezorez Al Tarasoi. He comes in the name of Hashem and calls out to people to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he exhorts people to keep the Torah. V'yitzav ebne Adam l'kayim HaTorah b'litasav l'chisorin. And he enjoins us to keep the Torah as it is, not to add, not to take away anything. K'mosha amah chaysomam, like the final prophet who sealed the words of Torah, that's Malachi. It says, Zichru Torah Smosha Avdi Asher Tzevisa Oso Bechorev Chukim Mishpatim. So you see that it's sort of in the Lashon Kodesh, or I would say better in Torah, we find great significance in the opening statement and closing statement. And it's logical, even in non-Torah, a person in a opening statement tries to encapsulate the point he's going to make. In a closing statement, he tries to sum it up. So there's a lot to be said about what the opening statement is and what the closing statement. The closing statement of Nevuah is Malachi's statement of Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisa Oso B'Chorev. Remember Moshe's Torah that he got from Chorev, which means that it's as if the sum total of what the prophet is advocating is keeping Torah, and we would expect that to permeate the entire canon of Nevuah, that it's all there just to tell us to keep Torah's Moshe. V'yei tovos l'misha yikayma, he's going to designate good things that will happen to the one that keeps it. V'onesh l'misha yavala, and a punishment for the one that transgresses it. K'moish asi yeshaya v'yom v'chaskav zolosam, like all the prophets, like this is the entire substance of all the Nevi'im, back and forth. If you do this, great things will happen. If you do this, terrible things will happen, and so on. He also can instruct and warn about things that are actually not in the Torah. Kigon Shayoma, as if he'll, for instance, he'll say, Hilachamu mir plonis, go and fight a certain city, battle a city, or im uma plonis ator, or with a nation. As like Shmuel told Shaul when he fought Amalek, or Yasim el Harik, or he'll tell the nation to desist. Like Elisha warned Yehoram not to kill Chazal's army. Kenoda. Yeshaya warned Chizkiyo not to bring the water into the Yerushalayim. Not to leave Yerushalayim, and so on. Okay. And then he says, if the Navi does this, we have to test him. Before we're going to go further, this is basically the scope of things that the Navi can can instruct us on. Now, the question is, what is the point of A? He says two broad areas. One is things that the Torah told us already, and he just sort of gives us a lot of mussar and tells us, don't you dare do this because of this happened, or do this and this will happen. Second thing is all sorts of all sorts of activities that the Torah doesn't specifically tell us anything about it. He can tell us to do it or not to do it. Obviously, these are only ad hoc warnings or mitzvahs. He cannot tell us that from now on we can't fight this nation, it's an isser, or from now on we ought to battle this nation, it's a mitzvah, because that would be being most of the Torah b'migareya. So the question really is, the second one is a little bit easier to understand the point of it. There are a lot of decisions to be made. People don't always know how to make those decisions. We've got a lot of quandaries and so on. And if a Navi comes along and tells us what Hashem said, do battle, don't do battle, that's really, it's something that's very, very helpful. But the first one, really what you need is a good rabbi with a very strong drasha. Basically, all he's doing is musa to reinforce what is already given to us as being mandatory or prohibited. And he's coming along and saying, you know, no, no, no. So what's the point of it? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. If that's all the prophet is doing, or that's an important part, so why a prophet? Why not anyone giving us musar? So I'd like to suggest two, possibly three points as to why that's significant. The first point is, we have many times a lack of clarity as to the activities we're doing. Sometimes the activities are, it's a question of halachically, is this correct or not correct? And that has to be ruled by a halacha process, and a prophet can't decide that. But a lot of times we think we're doing right. Let's take a primary example of it. When Shaul came to Shmuel, and when Shmuel came to Shaul, and he said, "What's going on here?" And he says, "Wonderful! I deserve an A+ for taking Amalek and taking all the sacrifices and everything." And Shmuel and Navi told him, "So something's wrong. You were supposed to kill out everyone, and I hear sheep, and I hear this." And he says, "Oh, well, that's for a good reason. We're going to bring karbanis and so on." The problem wasn't a halachic disagreement. It even says, Chazal teach us that he came along and said, "Well, I have a halachic issue over here, because how could we possibly kill out a whole city? If you kill out one person, you have to bring an Egla Rufa." And Shmuel told him, "You did wrong because you were afraid of people. You didn't have the strength that it took to tell people that they're doing wrong, and therefore you're no longer fit to be a king." The issue wasn't whether he was saying right or wrong. That was not the issue. The issue was what his deceptions and his lies, that he lied to himself, and it was absolute and couldn't possibly come to grips with what was right, because his own rationalization had corrupted him. At that point, we needed to have a Dvar Hashem to slice through and say, "You're wrong and wrong and wrong." All the rationales that you're presenting are excuses. They're not good reasons, and you're a sinner. So the first point is, because Klal Yisrael, when they do wrong or they're lazy to do right, there's a tendency to sort of justify yourself and to rationalize away things. And if I were to come as a human being and argue with them, they would say, you don't begin to understand, or you don't understand how difficult it is for me, and you don't understand my feelings, and you can't relate to it, and so on. It's not always easy to cut through the layers of defense that a person has not to be emotionally hurt. And that's why when the prophet comes along and he uses Hashem's name to tell the truth and to say, listen, what you're saying is an absolute sheker and it's not true, that is something that is much more effective. And you see how Shaul collapsed like a house of cards when Shmuel told him, I had a Dvar Hashem and you did not do right, not even a mistake, you did something that was terribly wrong. That's one understanding of what the point of the prophet is. A second point is that it's so much more effective when I can link direct consequences. We all know that for the mitzvahs we do, we're going to get schar. For the averis we do, we're going to get an onesh. But that's far off in some distant, distant future. It's not something that is immediate to us, and that's why we tend to ignore it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes brings into this world different feedback mechanisms to teach us what's going on. But it's very complex. How do you know when something is a feedback mechanism or it's just something that happened because that's the norm? How do we know for what part of the feedback mechanism where I don't know what part of the meisim we did are wrong? It's bewildering. Sometimes a person will even think that we're getting punished for the mitzvahs and reward of averus, because there's no real caption that comes with every consequence and says, "Oh, this is this averus avera." It leads itself open to a lot of their interpretations. So when the Navi comes along, what he's doing is he's putting a caption on the events to sort of label them in a way that makes it meaningful. In that sense, the Navi is called, the Rishonim said, Ebenezer says, from Nivs Vasayim, which means Hashem's power of speech, so to speak, he's the spokesman for God. Speech, one of the qualities of speech is that it's like a caption on a picture. It serves to define events. When you see a picture without a caption, you have an idea of what it's about, but really, really, at the end of the day, no clear idea. It's only when you have a caption on the picture that you say, ah, this is what it means here, this is what this means, this is what that means. So those events that happen to us, and we don't have a clear way of identifying and saying what it is, those events are ki'ilu, of minimal usefulness to us. Because I know that something good happened to me, and I sense it's Ashgacha Pratis, but what was it for exactly? Was it for learning very stark? Or was it for davening a lot for it? Was it for helping other people? Was it for my midas tovus? I don't know. It's very, very over interpretation. The Navi comes along and he says, it's because of this, it's because of that. If you're going to do bad, here's a consequence that's going to happen. And you are forewarned. And when we have the consequence in close proximity to the act we did, and it strikes us, we recognize very strongly that we have done something wrong. That's the advantage of having a Navi giving us captions for the good things or the bad things. So that's a second area where we have the need for a Navi and so on. A third area that straddles the two points that he's made. One of them is when the Navi comes and tells us what we've done wrong and the consequences thereof, and what we've done right and the rewards. The reason for it is because we have a much closer sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading us. The sense of Ashgacha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading us, is most pronounced in that interaction. So if we wouldn't have a Navi, and we'd act by our own psak or seichel or das, we might do the right things, might not do the right things, but whatever it is, we would not have a sense of Hashgacha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading us. It's the sense of Hashgacha that we have is because of the combination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with us and having HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us what to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading us in that sense, that creates a sense of imminence of Hashgacha. Okay, so we have a few reasons or a few purposes for which the Navi had come. Now we need to ask ourselves, how does one certify a Navi? So somebody is a potential Navi in the sense that his claim as to who his boss is makes sense. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not asking us Chas v'Shalom to be Oved Avodah Zarah. He's not telling us to cancel a mitzvah. He's not telling us to add a mitzvah. And he's doing one or two things. But now what? So now he says, now comes, once it's possible that he's a Navi, now we need to test if he's a Navi. And he says, Harei nitzarech oz livchen also. That's the point at which we need to put a test to it. Until we got to this point, there wasn't any point of testing him, because he was prima facie, he was not eligible to be a Navi. That was not a Navi. Now he's eligible, needs a test. What is the test? Vashetis amest hanosoi, and he says, and if his claim comes true, in other words, if he's proven himself, neschayev lekayim kol ha'sasevir, that's when we need to do whatever he tells us, midav katan vad gadol, from the biggest to the smallest thing. U'misheyavar al dova mitzivuyov, once he's passed the test, if anyone doesn't do what he tells us, chayev misa yeshamayim, he's chayev misa. That's in fulfillment of the pasuk. And if this person claims to be a prophet but cannot confirm it with those proofs, you must be chenek. He gets killed in chenek. It's dangerous stuff, this prophecy. You if you're right, everyone's got to listen to you on the penalty of death. If you're wrong, you suffer the penalty of death. And here goes how I prove what the Navi says. V'hu, shem yitan ish hanevuah lefoneinu al hader shebi'arnu. If a person says, okay, there will be a great tidal wave tomorrow, he's going to, I'm skipping a second just so we don't lose the thread of thought, and it's going to be and it's going to come true. In the Rambam says the test is coming true, not any type of metaphysical act, any type of miracle, but even before that, the Rambam says there's another part of the testing of a prophet. And what is that? V'yeh ro'ulah, he's worthy of prophecy. B'yoso me'anshe ha'chachma v'ayira v'aprishos v'aseichel v'tov v'amidas tekulam. Because he's a man of wisdom, fear of God, above material things, and a person who is focused on his seichel and his das, and is adorned with all good middos. Kasha ikar tzleinu, because we have a principle, ein hanevua shora el al chacham gibavasha. A prophet has to be wise, strong, wealthy. And the Rambam explains in Mishnah Torah that these three things are all spiritual. Wise is wise, that's fine. Strong means he's got powerful self-control and he doesn't do anything wrong. Usher is somebody who is he's happy in his lot and so on. He doesn't have needs and wants and he's and so on. Those are all qualities that he must possess. Upatim Rabim Bezenya, many other details. The Efshar Atalakif and Abalem, I can't possibly talk about all of them. I don't have the place to talk about all of them. Olavi Raka Achzechas Milashonos Mikisva Kaidish and Chachamim. I should bring proof from many, many places in Tanakh like that. So the Rambam says, and this is a principle that he uses in other places as well, that there are no mysteries. If the person is not someone that we consider learned, wise, pious, etc., then there's nothing to talk about. The Rambam says this in a very fascinating way in Igeres Taman. It was an epistle that he wrote to Yemenite Jewry. Yemenite Jewry suffered a terrible amount of persecution at the hands of the local government, the Muslims. They tried to convert it forcibly, and part of their misfortunes was they had a convert to Islam that was driving them crazy. But one of the really bad ones was a guy hanging around and claiming to be a prophet, to be a Mashiach. And the Rambam says that, and his point to them is that, and they ask him, could he be, would he be, you know, he's claiming this and that. And his point is, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a crackpot as a prophet? I mean, one of the reasons why we have such a perverted image of what a prophet is because the last time we've seen a prophet is usually in the movies. We were speaking about the Rambam saying that before we test the person with some sort of test about whether or not he is the appropriate person, a prophet sent as such, we have to first determine his personal qualities. And the Rambam listed a few of them in the Gemara. Person is wise, pious, self-controlled, etc. The point of the Rambam, why is it that you need it? So the Rambam himself, in his Igeres, Shmar Igeres Taman, when he speaks about people claiming to be prophets, he says, would they ask him, the Yemenite Jewry, if this person is Mashiach, or how can you tell if he's the Mashiach, or whatever? And he says, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a crackpot to represent him? Now, the point of it is, and like I started saying before, our sense of what a prophet is taken from a movie usually, which is some wild-eyed guy with long hair barges into a
you know, into a marketplace of people, and he's got this mad look in his eyes, and hey, you sinners, and so on and so forth. We sort of sympathize with the guy. We think he's telling the truth, but we're quite sure that the guy's mad. And he's somewhere on the borderline between more noble than everybody else and also not all there. That's kind of the image of a prophet. But he says, it doesn't make any sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would choose to allow his divine spirit to rest on people that aren't playing with a full deck of cards. And not only that, that are not people that are not of such stature that one would expect God to choose them. So God chooses the person who is extraordinary in those areas that matter the most to God. Wisdom, Torah wisdom, self-discipline, pious, righteous, etc. And then he might choose to give him nevuah. If you take a look at the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, where he speaks about nevuah in great in more length than here in this, and you know, many of the things are overlap, but there's one very clear sense you get from the Rambam, is that prophecy is not something that strikes you like a lightning bolt. You know, you kind of are the average Joe and you're walking home, and for some reason God decides to make you into a prophet and he blesses you with a prophecy and so on. It's a steady, it is a steady development, a steady spiritual development, where a person goes from Torah studying to deeper Torah studying to sort of moving away from people because of his yearning to be close to Hashem, receiving a divine spirit, and then finally possibly receiving prophecy. That's the order, and that's how it works. Anything else is a sham. So the Rambam here says, before we actually go test him, we want to see that he does have all these qualities. I want to add a picture to round it out, maybe. The reason why some people might have made a mistake about what a prophet is for two reasons. First of all, as opposed to all other attributes of a person, whether it's wisdom or righteousness, piety, these are things that a person can attain on his own. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to help him, needs Siyata Dishmaya, but there's a normal progression that as I keep doing what's right, I keep growing, and it's expected that my doing right will lead to the right results. Much as if I work out, I'm going to get muscles. That's the way it is. Prophecy is something that the Rambam says is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, meaning, even if I do all the things that are needed and so on, still I'm not guaranteed of anything. That is part of what prophecy is all about. There are reasons for it, and I don't want to talk about it now. It's not so relevant. It's more relevant. It's why people felt, well, we have some big tzaddikim. They're not prophets. So if they're not prophets and they're very big tzaddikim, I guess prophecy and tzidkis are not really related to each other. That's the common error. That's where the error comes from. A second point is, it says that a prophet, when he would receive prophecy, would lose control over himself. Except for Moshe Rabbeinu, the person, the prophecy overloaded a person's circuits, and that's why he's referred to in one or two places in Tanakh as a mishuga, as somebody who's gone bonkers, because a prophet can't, he's overwhelmed with the divine spirit, and it comes at the expense of retaining his normal faculties. So while it is true that a prophet becomes a sort of loses control and becomes mishuga, the way it says, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only exception. It doesn't mean that the Meshuggah is a prophet. You know, it's the cause and effect work in the other direction. Prophecy causes Meshuggah. Meshuggah does not cause prophecy. If anything, it's to the detriment of prophecy. So those are the reasons why people thought that a prophet is just kind of God at random selects a person that he would zaps him with prophecy, and all of a sudden your regular Joe becomes a prophet. But it's not like that. The Rambam makes it very clear. So before we even got into the testing of the prophet, we already know that there's a pre-screening of the prophet, let's call it that way, that a prophet is screened beforehand by dint of who is he, what is he, what prior credentials does he have that one would expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to endow with prophecy. Only after we've gotten past those hurdles, we're going to go on. The Rambam also mentions here that he said, I really should have explained prophecy in great detail. What are the qualities that make a person a prophet? He says, I should have written a whole book on it. Maybe a Kaddish Baruch Hu will help me and I will be able to do a whole work on this. I'm not sure in Mishnah Torah, which is written later, the Rambam does explain, not at great length, but he explains it. So I'm not sure if he felt that was a fulfillment or not. But be it as it may, the Rambam says, I should rightfully elaborate, but it will take us out of the framework of what I want to do here. I think we'll hold it here right before the test, and I leave a minute or two if there are any questions. Yes. I didn't. You came across a bit unclear. You're talking about a person who's got a lot of qualities, but what's the but that you're talking about? So that would automatically disqualify. If you can interpret it, if it's interpreted as going against what Torah said, then it's back to square one. He's definitely a Navi Sheker. If it's not clear, if it's something which was never said, and one can halachically place it in the bracket of Rishus, then it's the Navi's domain, and he could work as a Navi in that. So it's very clear. We have to find out if there was anything anybody that's relevant to halacha, in which case he cannot, say anything, and that disqualifies him. Or it's something which is it fits into rishus. You know, not clear. There's no specific halacha about it, and then his word is right. Okay. No. So I didn't hear. Does he claim that it came from Hashem or not? And has he been proven? This is the next piece that the Rambam will speak about having credentials. If he has credentials, then we need to believe it, and we're obligated to. But if he hasn't proven himself yet, we're still before the proof, the actual proof of Nevuah. We've cleared the prerequisites. Oh. But I haven't gotten to the actual proof. The actual proof is the next piece. This is all pre. In other words, if we have an X on any one of these points till now, it's not, for sure. Okay. Take care. Call to. Goodbye.